Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming a program author, Amanda Innes, and she is the author of The Ghosts of Marshley Park. Before I bring in today's guest, a quick reminder that selected interviews are available on our iPhone app, which can be downloaded in the App Store, as well as on TV on the Roku channel and Amazon Fire TV. Our app name on all platforms is simply The Author Show. Amanda, how are you?
Fine. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I am an author and I live in Livermore, California. I'm originally, though, from the Austin, Texas area, and I've lived in Massachusetts for a while. I started out in film, moved on to publishing, and then decided to start writing my own books.
So tell us about your book.
It is a young adult magical realism story about a girl who finds herself murdered and enlists the help of a Victorian-era ghost to solve her murder. And in the meantime, she starts uncovering some mysteries about him.
Now, who did you write this book for? Who's your target audience?
You know, I wrote this book for the kids who are aging out of middle school and going into high school. They're ready for something a little bit darker and deeper, but they're not quite ready for the full-on YA experience. I'd say ages 14-ish is about perfect for this book. It's clean, it's atmospheric, but it's not scary or gory.
So could you say there's any type of central message in the book, or perhaps an underlying theme that you would say runs throughout the book?
It's definitely about forming a friendship, a central friendship. There's also a lot of exploration of spirituality, of life and belief systems, and kind of the personal nature of hell. Definitely kind of what we believe and why, and the influences around us about our belief systems.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the single most important idea you're sharing in your book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
I think it's a thoughtful book. The reader will get a perspective that I hope is new or different, or at least causes them to stop and think about things a little bit differently than, say, what you hear in the world, a lot of the noise in the world around us. I hope that it just causes the reader, a young reader, to stop and really kind of consider things from a few different new angles.
Now, if you could compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
I think The Ghosts of Marshley Park has a lot of DNA in common with Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard book. Similar sort of central mystery, the graveyard setting. The Ghosts of Marshley Park is like slightly aged up. So like if you liked The Graveyard book when you were like a middle grade student and you're a little older now, you might want to pick up The Ghosts of Marshley Park. It's the same kind of story, just a little bit more grown up.
Now, you said you're giving the readers a new perspective on things. New in what way?
There's a religious aspect, I would say. I grew up in a very religious household, and yet I'm very interested in the supernatural. And this book kind of addresses that intersection, which is not maybe something that we get a lot of in children's fiction.
Tell us about some of the characters in the book.
Jade Roberts is an American girl. She's 16. She has gone to England with her dad. Her dad's very powerful businessman. She's at a party, but she wakes up dead on the grave of this Victorian young man named Julian. There's a big kind of conflict between them, just in the sense of the difference of their morals and their time. You know, he obviously is scandalized by the short dress she's wearing, things like that. Julian's a bit prissy. Jade has anger management issues, and she's pretty entitled. She's used to getting what she wants. So there's a lot of conflict there. They're fun. They were fun to kind of live with in my head during the writing process, and the reader will find them, I think, entertaining as well.
Now, you started out with a degree in screenwriting before getting your master's in writing literature and publishing. Why did you make that change?
I was fortunate enough to work on film sets for a little bit while I was an undergrad, and I had some wonderful experiences there. But the more I did it, the more I realized it wasn't the environment I really wanted. It's very difficult as a screenwriter to break in. You have to get yeses from a lot of people. The hoops you have to jump through, and it just felt really daunting. So I decided to pivot and go for publishing. And I did work in publishing for a while as an editor. I worked for Houghton Mifflin and for Pearson. And I then decided to go ahead and focus on my own writing.
So if you weren't a writer, what do you think you'd be doing instead?
Well, I might still be in publishing, but I like to think that I would have started a community theater or some kind of acting work, because I was a member of a Shakespeare troupe in college that I really, really enjoyed. And I kind of wish I could still be doing that.
Now, this book is about ghosts. Do you believe in them, or have you ever seen one?
I believe in things we can't see. We lived in a house in Massachusetts in a town called Haverhill that is a town that H.P. Lovecraft actually used to frequent. And we lived near a graveyard there. And that house, I'm pretty convinced, was haunted. We used to hear voices in other rooms, and you would walk around trying to figure it out, and the voices would move. It sounded like two men talking, muttering to each other. And our babysitter always used to say that in the kitchen cabinets would open and close, even though the kids were all in bed and no one else was in the house. So I do believe in ghosts to an extent. I feel kind of silly, but I have experienced enough that I'm kind of pretty convinced that they're around.
So being in this environment, how did that influence your writing?
You know, this book in particular comes from a family history. The Innes clan in Scotland had a chieftain who was known to practice witchcraft. That germinated this story. And then growing up, in a religious household, but also with this history of people in my family who had prophetic dreams and things like that, that kind of always was in the back of my mind. And I think this story bloomed from that fertile soil.
So what can you tell us about this genre and why you decided to write in this genre?
So this genre is the intersection of the real world and the fantastical, which is my favorite place to live in writing and reading. They call it magical realism. And I just love taking the ordinary and spinning a little bit of magic into it. That's always been one of my favorite things. Alice Hoffman does it really well. Neil Gaiman does it really well. There's just something wonderful about thinking that in the world you live in, something amazing could happen any moment and just change everything for you.
So how would you describe your writing style?
Coming from a screenwriting background, my dialogue is really strong. I'm definitely a dialogue and character writer, mostly, primarily. It's, I would say, very readable. I do like to use a lot of metaphors. I try to tone that back because that gets pointed out to me a lot by my writing group. They're like, a lot of metaphors in here. It's clean and readable. It's a step down from literary in that what we would call upmarket in publishing. It's not quite literary, but it's a step up from the kind of genre plot-driven stuff that drives some authors' work.
So are your characters pure fiction, or did you draw from people you know in real life?
I never intentionally draw from people I know except myself. Jade in this book has an anger management issue that is directly correlates to some anger issues I had as a child. She tells a story about getting angry and trying to bend a metal folding chair. And that is something I actually tried to do when I was about 8 years old. But yeah, I only ever draw from aspects of myself, not because I don't love the people in my life, but because I love the people in my life, I try not to, insert them in my fiction. My mother's always asking me to put her in my books. And I'm like, I don't think you want that. You think you want that. I don't think you want that.
So would you say you're more of a character artist or more a plot-driven writer?
Oh, I'm definitely a character writer. I definitely enjoy spending time with my characters, getting to know them, and letting their personalities drive what happens, because they're the ones kind of making the choices in the story as it goes along. It needs to be true to character to be believable for the reader.
So other than selling your book, of course, is there anything else you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, I mean, I would like for readers to, you know, really sink into this book. And when they do and come out of it again, I want them to feel like, oh, that was great. What else has she written? So that they're looking forward to my next book. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal, to keep feeding readers entertaining stories that they just envelop them, basically.
What's the number one benefit you think that readers will take away from reading your book?
Readers, when they're done with this book, will be very satisfied. They will, like, kind of like a full meal, right? They've read it, they close it, and they're like, that was great. And it will also cause them to think again about the nature of life, the afterlife, where we go, what that might be like, whether it's actually scary or not, what hell might actually look like for people.
What part of your book would you say you personally like best?
I like the banter between Jade and Julian. She likes to tease him and get him flustered because of his very, you know, old-fashioned morals. And I find that highly amusing.
So in your opinion, who should buy your book?
This book is perfect for like 14 to 18-year-olds, kids who are, you know, aging out of the Beverly Cleary stuff, but aren't quite ready for, you know, the more intense Hunger Games kind of thing. They want something maybe a little spooky, but not scary, not something that's going to give them nightmares. Maybe they want something with a hint of romance, but they're not ready for that full-on romantic story. They want something that's clean and safe to read, but still pushes a little bit beyond the typical middle grade reading stuff.
So how can readers find out more about you and your book?
I am on Goodreads, Amanda Ennis, as a Goodreads author. I've been answering questions over there. And I did recently also join TikTok. Everybody said, oh, as an author, you have to be on TikTok. So I'm Amanda_Ennis on TikTok. So I have a few videos there, and people have asked me questions about the book there too. So I'm happy to answer those. That is the only social media I'm on at the moment.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Amanda Ennis, and she is the author of The Ghosts of Marshley Park. Amanda, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Go out there, buy the book today, and please share this interview with your friends so that they too have the opportunity to discover our guests and their work. The Author Show can be accessed at any time at theauthorshow.com. Selected interviews can also be found on major platforms like Amazon Fire TV, the Roku channel, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many more. And whether you're an author who would like to be featured or a reader in search of new books to read, The Author Show is a great place to start. Check us daily as we continue to introduce wonderful authors of very interesting books on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.